Good evening. I want to thank God for this opportunity to bring another portion of God's word. We have two faithful ministers here and some young servants that can bring a message. So whether it's bringing out a trash or bringing a word from God, I appreciate God allowing me and my wife to work out our soul salvation here with this church. You've been a loving and kind church, and from us, we appreciate it. You've accepted us with no problems and allowed us to work out our soul salvation. We want to thank you for that. We're going to get right to it tonight. I already caught a couple of brothers this morning, and they kind of reminded me that there's something going on tonight. It started at 7 o'clock. And I'm going to do my best. I'm going to preach the word, and we do what we got to do. And that's why they invented tape, right? You can tape the game, can't you? Right? You can tape it and watch it later. So I'll give you one more before we get started. So I know what it is. My wife and I went to go to lunch today. Normally, I'll drop my wife off at the door. She'll go in and sit down, and I go park the car. So I come in the restaurant, and I walk in, and I'm looking around trying to find her. And I'm looking for her, and I can't find her. And the two hostesses come to me and said, well, who you looking for? I said, I'm looking for my wife. Right? So there they go, the two people that sat down. So one of them asked me, is it a she? I said, oh, Lord. I said, never mind, I'll find her myself. We found it. Keep your laugh. Tonight, we're going to bring a lesson from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Apostle Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. First three chapters kind of break down how God planned our salvation before the foundation of the world. And what are some of the consequences of this plan? Chapters 4 through 6, Paul gives us very detailed and specific applications of how we to walk in this life. And we're going to look at some scripture, and this lesson will be yours. Now, this lesson is not to offend anybody, but we're going to preach the truth. We in the world, and if you're married in here, I just want to show something. Raise your hand if you're married. Now, keep your hand in the air, okay? If you've never had a disagreement with your mate, leave your hand in the air. Now, I say, look around. Those of you that are going to get married, those who think you're in a boat by yourself, get a good look. Nobody is hand, isn't it? Mine wouldn't be either. Isn't that right, wife? Mine wouldn't be in the air either. You just married, your hand down already? Wait a minute now. Hold up a minute. No, I'm only kidding. Wait a minute, they just got married. All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verses number 31. And if I was entitled my lesson, it's called Love and Respect. My wife and I, a few months ago, you know, everybody kept saying to us, you empty nesters. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And she came to me. I have a wonderful wife. And she asked me if I'd be interested in reading the book. I said, uh-oh, what did I do to myself? No, but it's good because you can't get comfortable where you're at. Just because our children are now gone, we can't think we've made it. And again, I don't mind reading the book, but the first thing we went through is what scriptures is he basing this book on? And this book was written by Emerson Eggerich. It's a good book. It's called Love and Respect, the love that she needs and the respect that he deserves. But I couldn't get my mind. We've been through it, and the main gist of his scriptures are Ephesians 5:33. But we're going to look at that for a minute. In Ephesians 5, verse 31, Paul writes, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Now, we want to look at this love and respect from the idea of communication. Most people don't go into marriage looking to get divorced. They just don't. That's not the purpose we get married. But something happens within that marriage that things start to break down. And if we asked about it, normally when we have disagreements, he calls it a crazy cycle. This idea where, you know, you kind of put your feet in the sand, she puts her feet in the sand. It's because of lack of understanding of how she ticks and how he ticks. And sometimes we get crosshaired and we react in ways that we shouldn't. And Paul says, in quotes, Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 24, both right, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she has taken out of man. Verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. Now my PowerPoint presentation crated out back there. And I like visual things because especially when you work with kids a lot, the visual things stick in their mind. And this idea, the Greek word to join or to cling is to hold on to grab tight, to not let go. And I had a picture. Have you ever seen a female possum with her babies? Y'all shaking your head. No, you're from the South, right? You eat possum down here, don't you? Mississippi? Don't they eat possum? But anyway, up north you see them a lot when they cross the street. And the babies will cling to that mother for dear life and not let go, because if they let go crossing that street and they drop, they're gone. And that's the concept that this joining, this clinging, this cleaving one to another that God had intended for marriage. That we cling to one another. We're not always going to get along with one another. But he's not expecting us to break that bond like a glue, like a cement. Hold together when you make that decision that you're going to get married. I want you to think about that in a minute. In Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. You know, the beginning of marriage, I guess I could talk to you guys, is very important. We're very important to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse number 7. The whole chapter deals with the holy war of Israel. They're about to wage war on the kingdoms of Canaan. God sentenced to death against the people of Canaan because of their shameless debauchery. God had gotten upset with them and was going to use his people to go to war and teach them a lesson. But when those go to war, he gave four reasons why people didn't need to go to war. Verse number 7, it says in chapter 20, and also in chapter 24, verse number 5. But we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse number 7. And what man is there that has betrothed a wife and had not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in battle and another man take her. See, God allowed an exception. In your first year of marriage, they were betrothed. They didn't necessarily come together yet. But he allowed them not to go to war, because that's how important a marriage was, that first year of establishing a relationship one with another. Now, that's Old Testament, but there's a good principle there. Your first year, you two need to focus on one another to establish it. You've been living apart, kind of loving the way you do things, not just you, the way you do things, and now you're coming together. You got to adjust to one another. You got to get used to one another's habits and styles and all of those kind of things, things you just get comfortable doing yourself, okay? Now it's not to the point, but the other three things that God allowed, if you have a house builder, and you had not dedicated your house yet, you didn't have to go to war. The planter of a vineyard who had not yet enjoyed their first crop. And the last one, not too good, but it's in there. If you was a coward, you didn't have to go. It's in your Bible. You did not have to go if you was a coward. Now, back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 33. Says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. Now, it's not that profound, but I couldn't keep getting, this is 2-3 months later, and I still keep going back and digging and digging and digging to make sure I understand every single word of what God is trying to tell me as a husband and what to expect of my wife. But I look at it more for me, because he's going to hold me accountable as the leader of how I treat her, how I raise our children, and all that I do. Now, you say, how do I know if I'm loving my wife? Back in Ephesians chapter 5, Verse number 1. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Now, brothers, he's given us an instruction in 31, 33. We to love our wives, but we do it being imitators of God. When we leave our personal feelings out of it, we human creatures, we have emotion, we're not perfect. But understand in that relationship, as the leader of that house, as the man trying to love or respect our wife, every time we deal with her, we need to be imitating God. Now, the word imitators comes from this word of like followers, to go right behind. God has left us what we need to imitate. How we need to treat her. Ladies, you're going to get yours too. How you need to treat us. But he dealt with the husband first because he put the husband here first. And he gives him the instructions as the head of the house what they need to do. Now, the Bible describes three kinds of love. We're talking here about agape. And it's really talking about God's love for his son, Jesus Christ, and how we as men have to have unconditional love one for another. Leave emotion out of it. I love you because you're a Christian. Don't matter what you look like, don't matter how old you are, I love you because of who you are. That's a growing thing to do. Okay? There's also phileo, which he's not addressing here. But that talks about a love of like family, a brother, a sister. Has a little bit of emotion to it. Okay? And then there's eros. Guys, we know what that is, right? Nobody laughing. We don't know what that one is? All right. That's the sexual love he's talking about. We don't have normally any problem with that one. We can whip that one out. But those are three types of love. But here he's talking about agape. Just that unconditional love because of who you are. Yes, sir. We need to love our wives just because we said I do. Amen. That's some deep stuff. How do I know how to love my wife? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is the standard. You listen to some of these doctors and philosophers, and there are emotions involved. But we're going to be judged by this standard that's set before us. He's not going to say you went to doctor, what's his name, Dr. Phil? And this is what Dr. Phil told me to do. And I don't fight that. If you need to go to psychiatry, whatever you need to do, you do what you need to do. But the standard, and I've always felt that, we just got back to the book. And did our part. As much as I love my wife, I can't control how she treats me. But I do know how much she loves the Lord, and she submits to me, not because of I'm so wonderful, but because of her love for Jesus Christ. And that's what we look for in both parties. But we want to stand it here and says, how do I know if I'm loving my wife the way I'm supposed to? All right? Verse number 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm sorry, I said 7. I want 1 Corinthians 13, number 4. I'm going to read through verse 6. Love suffereth long. That means we have patience. Yes. Endurance. Even when you provoked. She may say something that you don't necessarily agree with. Okay? That's that respect factor. May came across the wrong way. But regardless of what happens, we need to be long-suffering. Suffers long. We deal with that. And that's not easy. Okay? If somebody's mastered this, let me know, because I'll go sit down right now, because I'm still working on it. But these are things we need to strive to get for. Love is kind. Are we kind to our wives? The word refers to active goodness. It's never hateful in meeting. Love is kind in what we say and what we do. Yes. You say you love her, but you don't do nothing for her. Okay? You love her, robber comes to the door, you wake her up and say, baby, go see who that is. That makes sense? I love you, though. Go see who it is. You closer to the door. And I say that, guys, and I told this to our in VBS. And this, it was funny. We've been studying this, and this came to practice. few weeks ago, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, it was about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. My wife was upstairs. I was downstairs. Someone came knocking at the door. My personality is to get it. My personality of my wife was, it's 10:30 at night, don't answer that door. Now, as a husband, my concern was, in case there is something on the other side, baby, get your phone, go upstairs, something happens, you call the police, you do what you need to do. And I opened the door. And it takes a while. There's a woman there that at the door, bleeding, pregnant, keeling over, talking to me in Spanish. And the first thing I said to her was, we need to pray. She looked at me like I had no idea what I was talking about. And it took me a while, and then I told my wife, I said, baby, call 911. But I'm still concerned that there could be some trick around the corner. But now the door is open. And here's me reading this, studying it, reading it. My job is to protect her. But the same token, we did it this week. You got to be a good Samaritan. I could see this lady was in trouble. She came to the door with all of her papers. I couldn't read Spanish. But we kind of figured something out. And it wasn't long. I mean, my wife's calling. And Brother Raj, please forgive me. But 911 got on the line asking 8 million questions. I'm like, baby, you need to hang up so you can get to be safe. They're keeping her on the phone to make sure nothing happens. I get it. At the time, I'm more concerned where she was. And I show you some things. About 30 or so minutes go by. And I'm now talking to the woman. You could tell she was frightened. She kept spitting up. I said blood coming down her side, keeling over with the baby. That's what I was really concerned about, was the baby. And she finally was able to tell me that her boyfriend punched her and hit her and then knocked her down, and she hit her head on the counter, and that's where all the blood started to come from. But the look on her face, a car comes driving by. Now, I didn't understand Spanish. She came behind, that car came flying by our street. She came behind me and grabbed me. It wasn't long for me to figure out that was the guy. Here come the police. They go flying right by the street. So the cop come back. I said, well, you kind of went by us. He said, no, there's one on the next street. I said, okay. But anyway, again, it was just that concept of, in my mind was going through when it was over, if this man, this boyfriend, treated her like he was supposed to, she wouldn't have been knocking at our door. And I want to say to you, you know, I was concerned about my wife, but it shows you that ministering spirit she had. Within about 30 minutes, she saw me out there, and I was more comfortable. She was outside trying to take care of that woman, which was better for me. Now I could talk to the ambulance and the police. And, you know, once the guy wasn't there, I kind of wanted to turn her over. But she was just there, and it worked out. The lady went in the ambulance and everything. But it was just a case of putting to practice. Now you're in an emergency, what I've just been studying. I could have yelled at her and said, get your butt upstairs. That's not a way. I could have been upset with her for coming outside, but I knew what her spirit was. I said, baby, I always would want you to be safe. If something ever happens to me, you can get on out. She said, baby, I'm not going to leave you. That was comforting for me. Though I would want her to, that was her response. That's that love or respect. And again, I didn't tell that to tell on us, but just to say, sometimes you get put in these situations. You know, why did that young lady pick our house? I have no idea. But God had a reason for it. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm sorry. Verse number 4. Love envieth not. Okay? True love is not jealous. We don't get jealous of our mates. All right? Vaunteth not itself. Okay? It doesn't brag on who we are. Maybe you got you a steal. You know, I mess with my wife now. I do tell her, baby, you got the best taste of men I've ever seen. Right? What does that mean? That don't mean nothing. All right? That's not really a compliment. But you're bragging. That's absolutely my only plan, Brother Gab. I'm only praying. All right? Love is not puffed up. Okay? We're not arrogant or proud. Love not behave itself unseemingly. All right? Love is never rude. We're not rude to our mates. Seeketh not his own. Okay? We don't do things for selfish gain from her. Some qualifications. Not easily provoked. Okay? Even if she does do you wrong, we don't say, oh, I owe you one. Got a marker board somewhere. Does not do that. Love thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Amen. Now, almost there. Back to Ephesians 5:33. Second part of that verse says, and wives must respect her husband. The Greek word for this, respect, has this idea of fear, reverence. And again, like our love and fear and reverence of God, it has the same meaning. Amen. Okay? Amen. Phobio is the Greek word. It's a verb. And it's in the passive. It's a referential fear on the part of a wife for a husband. But out of love. If he's loving you like he's supposed to, you're not going to have a problem submitting and giving him his reverence. Because that's what God expects of you. Amen. Okay? God expects so much from us that he said, look, Jesus loved the church so much that he died for it. Amen. Same word of love. Same word for us with our wives. Next verse, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband. Okay? This idea of yielding. You don't do it because of who he is. You do it out of your love for God, because God has asked you to submit to that man. Same way you would to God. God was here, we wouldn't take him on and challenge. He tells us to do something, we're going to do it.
Amen.
I'm not going to challenge him. But that, again, we're not men as men, we're not God. I'm not trying to put us there. But God is saying this idea of yielding to your man's leadership. Doesn't mean he doesn't listen to you. Don't mean you don't talk things out. Doesn't mean you don't pray about things. But when it comes time to make that decision, you can't agree. You got to trust him.
Amen.
You got to trust him.
Amen.
When you get into these issues, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Now, I was talking about a sister being married to someone outside the faith. But it says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by your conversation of their wives. That you live it in such a way that if your husband is not a member of the church, he's won to Jesus Christ by how you behave yourself in that home. And we had that comment, you know, and I started off with this communication and conversation with one another. Guys, we know when sometimes things are not going down the right road. When we start communicating, and you can maybe hear the volume escalating, maybe you can feel inside your blood pressure starting to go up, or you can see it in her reactions. We need to get back to these somethings. And I just want to do something. I can't say I've done it all the time, but it works for me. And I think, guys, if it could work for our situation. Cynthia, come here for a minute. Just for a minute. We in worship service. Don't be smiling coming up here. Come on, baby. This is quick. I'm going to tell you, I won't do it every time, but this is what we do. I promise you, when I grab her like this, she's not looking to get close to me when we disagree. I'm going to try something that works. Do it with me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as my wife and I have this discussion where, Lord, we're not seeing eye to eye on the issue that we're talking about. Lord, may the conversation we have, may I treat her with love and understanding. May I listen to what she has to say. May she talk to me and listen to me in the respect that I need. Lord, that this conversation may be wholesome in the way that you would be pleased. Pray, Lord, that you would watch over our conversation. May our level be calm. May we never do anything to try to purposely hurt one another. We ask this in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. That puts a different spin on your disagreement.
Yes, sir.
Not saying you're going to get over it.
Yeah.
But as now, again, we the leader, yeah, that puts a different spin on it. From her perspective, she knows that, yeah, I may not agree with her, but someone else I'm answering to.
Amen.
One more point, this lesson going to be yours. Now, I couldn't find it. Again, my visuals would have been good, but I didn't have them. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And I seem to grab that one. And I know I didn't ask somebody, went over this in the men's class, that you should have someone prepared. But no matter of fact, I'm going to take my Bible, so don't ask somebody. Colossians chapter 4. Verse number 5. Now, Paul writes this book to the church. And he's really in context talking to them about trying to win people outside of the church of Christ. Okay, contextually, that's what he's talking about. But I want to use something he says in verse 6 to make a point. Verse 5, he says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside the faith. Redeeming the time. Verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer one another. And I thought about giving you all a package of salt from McDonald's, but I couldn't get them. But no, serious. If how we treat one another, we just need a package of salt to carry in our pockets. Because the salt, back then, believe it or not, in Jesus' day, they didn't have Kenmore refrigerators. So the salt had a purpose. It was to season, to pasteurize the meat. Our conversations, again, this is to outside, but if we take the principle, if we talk to one another, trying to preserve that relationship, talk to him, talk to her in such a way, we're going to be all right. And I say that. You know, I wish I had a package of salt. And I can't, again, it may help somebody. We got it. All need some salt. But again, it's that communication, understanding that a woman operates on love. Now, there's a bunch of different ways we can go over it. There are different lessons you can come from. But scripturally, God said that she needs love. She communicates different than we communicate. We desire respect. We need to feel that through everything, you're respecting who I am as the leader of this family. I'm going to leave that with you. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the church, really, this lesson don't apply to you yet. You may get a principle out of it, but you're not under God's umbrella. We'd want you to become a member of the church tonight. So how do I become? You have to hear the word. You have to hear that Jesus Christ came, died, buried, rose again on the third day. And he's coming back someday for his church, for his bride. The perfect bride, the only perfect bride, the only perfect marriage, Jesus and his church. You need to repent. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you nay. Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You need to confess before this group that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, whoever confessed me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But don't forget the next verse. Whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, some denominations will leave you there, but that's not Bible. You will then need to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Once you do that is when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sin. And also one other thing, most important thing, God will add you to his church. And just like everybody else in here, you'll have an opportunity to get to heaven. If you're here and you just need prayer, you can come now as we get ready to sing the song of invitation.
Oh, do not let the world depart.